From the Climate Crisis Film Festival in Vancouver, February 24, 2007, this is Dr. Bill Taylor, climatologist for Environment Canada.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bill Taylor. I'm a climatologist with Environment Canada. My background is actually in meteorology, and about 20 years ago, I decided that I just had to become a weather forecaster. And so I actually quit my the career I had at the time, went back to university, got my degrees, went on, got hired by Environment Canada, got trained as a weather forecaster, applied for a job as a climatologist, and never wrote a single weather forecast because of my new position. So it's interesting how one's career can take sudden dives and turns. But anyway, I've been involved in climate work now for about the past 10 or 12 years, and first really became interested in it when Environment Canada produced something called the Canada Country Study. And my boss and I were involved in doing the BC and Yukon chapter of this Canada Country Study. And what it was a review back in 1997. So this is at a time when climate change and global warming was really just sort of emerging in people's minds and getting on the agenda. And what the purpose of this was really just to report out on the impacts of climate change on BC and Yukon as they were understood at the time by the experts. So we pulled in people from the provincial government who study forestry and people who study water and that kind of thing. And we asked them each to contribute a chapter to this book. And actually, it's 10 years later now, and I still get comments from people about how useful they find that publication, just in terms of being kind of a first in terms of documenting the impacts as we understood them then. And actually, if I had to list them, the lists that I would come up now are not really too different than the ones that we first identified back in 1997. And in about the past 10 years, I've been in a number of scientific projects aimed at just trying to improve our understanding of these issues and what we're going to need to do about them. So I would put at the top of the list water resources. And I've been involved in a study in the Okanagan looking at climate change impacts on water resources. Of course, that the interior is wholly dependent on the buildup of the snowpack for their water supplies to take them through the whole year. And as the climate warms, the amount of precipitation falling as snow is reduced. So we see the fraction of rain and snow changing. So, and also under a warmer climate, we see an earlier snow melt. So if we look at the trends in the snowpack over about the past 20 or 30 years, and this is not just for the Okanagan, but in fact, for the entire Pacific Northwest, we see declines in the April 1st snowpack. April 1st is the date we look at because it's the time of year when the snowpack is pretty much at its peak, and it gives the provincial planners a very good idea of the amount of water that's going to be available for the summer, especially in the interior for irrigation purposes. So in a place like the Okanagan, where agriculture consumes something like 70% of the water resources, this is a pretty critical element. So speaking of agriculture, I would identify that also as kind of an area that would be of interest, at least, because agriculture is one of those sectors that they say actually stands to improve as a result of climate change. So. And the reason that is, of course, is because longer growing seasons and areas that are currently not able to grow certain types of crops being able to do that. So we'd actually see an expansion of agriculture. But with that comes a couple of real problems. The first one is water. Where's the water going to come from? Because problem number one is water supplies. Also, pests increase with a changing climate. The third area I think I would suggest is in forestry. And we're all, of course, very familiar with the mountain pine beetle. And the reason that that infestation is in the state that it is today is because over the past couple of decades, we just haven't seen the really very, very cold temperatures that's required to keep that in check. So as the climate warms, ecosystems will shift northward and upward. And that was a statement that came out in the 1997 Canada Country Study. I thought, that's marvelous, you know. It just, everything shifts upward and northward. But as we look at that issue a little bit more closely, it's not as pretty as it sounds. And in fact, the problem is that species all migrate at different rates. And there are also obstacles in the way. So in the Okanagan, for example, we're going to see a great expansion, I think, of grassland and that pine ecosystem up into the Douglas fir and the Douglas fir zone moving, you know, up into the more cold adapted spruce species. So these changes will happen, but there will be casualties along the way, and it's not just sort of a benign shift in things. So, of course, on the coast, sea level rise, in the north, thawing permafrost and all the implications that have. There are probably several others that I could mention, but I think the main message I'd like to leave you with is that the warming that we are experiencing is happening. It's not something that we can say, you know, climate change is all future. It is something we've observed in the past record. We can see changes like glaciers, for example. There's probably no better example. And so in these various sectors that I've mentioned, agriculture, water resources, forestry, it's going to require us as a society to adapt to the new climatic equilibrium. And that it's in that adaptation that I think the real challenges are for not only us as a society, but for water resource managers, for politicians, and because there's going to be some tough decisions that we will face related to climate change. Thank you.
That was Dr. Bill Taylor, climatologist for Environment Canada, the government agency. He spoke at the Saturday panel of the Climate Crisis Film Festival, February 24, 2007, a joint presentation of the Vancouver Public Library and the Sierra Club of British Columbia, recorded by Radio EcoShock.